Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter, from plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Overtime, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and two times the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
Welcome to The Consumers. My name is Greg Warren. I am here with regular co-host Sean O'Brien.
Hi, Greg.
Good to see you, buddy.
You too, man.
What's the hat there?
I'm prepping early. We're going to get into this later in this episode.
Oh, we can't ask you about your hat yet?
Yeah, we could, but then it just kind of the reveal is a little, you know, so it's a teaser. We'll call it the teaser hat.
All right. Tim Convey sporting his hat that we all like from the Chicks.
Memphis Chicks. And I wore it quite a bit on the cruise. And now in the art that fans have provided, the coterie, I'm always wearing this Chicks hat, which I'm okay with.
Yeah, it looks good, man. It's one of my favorite hats.
Near iconic status, I think, is what you call that.
Let's take it easy.
Just saying.
Is it foam?
Yeah, it's one of those kind of foamy guys. Yeah.
Charlie Winfrey is our guest this week. Charlie's friend of ours, local St. Louis comic. You guys are going to love him. We're
character.
Really happy to have
love
him here.
Hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully you like it.
Yeah, I love it, man. You got a shirt with dogs on it.
Yeah, this is crying out loud. This is my hunting shirt.
This guy's insane. Yeah.
I got it out of Duluth. It's my hunting shirt.
Yeah, looks good.
Yeah, man.
Oh, Duluth. The Duluth Trading Company.
Oh, yeah.
Now, just to be clear, when you get something like that from the Duluth Trading Company, is it a situation where you have currency that you give them, or do you actually have to go in with like another shirt and trade them for
it? They take cash and bear pelt.
Okay.
It's a fluent system.
I think the bear pelt is a nod to all of our, I mean, that's how St. Louis was built, by fur traders.
There you go. And that's why I do it.
What's that hat?
Still trading.
It's the Blues. This is the new Blue Note.
Oh, I see the trumpet there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the arch and the trumpet. It's a
hockey team.
No,
St. Louis Blues. Yeah. Hockey team.
I wasn't familiar with the new.
This is the new one of the new logos.
Okay.
Yeah.
But not the main new logo.
No, there's still
like the
Blue Note.
The Blue Note, yeah.
The Blue Note, yeah. It's technically, is that a 16th note or a
it's on your
32nd
shirt.
Note?
It's not a note that exists in
yeah, it's like three little bars, right? Which I remember.
Gonna pull it up. I think it's an eighth note.
I don't know. I can't remember exactly what
just the regular
one. Just the regular logo, Randy. Yeah, that one. There, that's
1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3, and then
it's a 32nd note with style.
Yeah. It's a wing. It's a wing that they added to the
They added a wing to a 32nd note. Am I right, Tim?
I don't think.
Oh, you don't know how to read music, right?
I don't.
That is a 32nd note, right?
I think it's 32nd. Charlie, did you play an instrument?
I play drums.
Oh yeah,
you play drums.
Yeah. Charlie's good.
That makes so much sense.
So I know the length of the notes, but I don't know what the notes are.
I've been talking in my my act a little bit about the band in high school.
Yes, I was in marching band.
I was clarinet, and I sat up front. You know, I got away with nothing. Meanwhile, the drum section, they were so far back, they did whatever they wanted.
Yes,
it was just derelicts. And Charlie Winfrey fits right into that.
Yeah, I am a derelict for sure.
Just
so likable, buddy.
Yeah,
we all just love you.
That's
gambling going on back there. All kinds of nefarious activities.
We're farting around. That's for sure.
But with charm
and timing.
Yeah,
good rhythm.
Yeah. The band director, I don't think, knew half their names. You know,
most of us don't deserve names, but drummers play notes without actual notes.
Yeah.
I said that.
Hey, Randy, write that down. Go ahead and clip that one out, man. That's
drummers play notes without, Randy's the musician himself.
Strong.
Have you heard anything like that before, Randy?
No, I have not.
Yep. Charlie's an original, that's for sure.
Profound. On Tim's week, I went on stage after the show and I started, what's that xylophone thing?
A xylophone?
It's a glockenspiel.
Oh,
yeah. I got in there. I was playing that thing.
Were you really?
I got on my phone and I got some basic.
Oh, when the audience was out.
I thought
you meant like to close the show. You were like, thanks for coming, everybody, real quick.
I was thinking about it.
You know, there's a glockenspiel on Born to Run.
No, I didn't.
I think that's a xylophone.
I think it's a glockenspiel because I just watched the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
There's some inaccuracies in there, man. Everybody knows.
What? His
Wait,
lady
you're
was...
telling me. Bum, 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 bum.
No. Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. It's a glockenspiel because his lady is like, that's a beautiful instrument, Bruce.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's like, glockenspiel.
I just think we should put a glockenspiel.
Yeah, there it is, man. We pulled it up. I crushed it.
There you go, buddy.
Kind of like the rainbow one. That's what I was good at.
Is that a glockenspiel or a xylophone?
See, I would argue that some of those pictures are xylophones.
Me too. Really only but one xylophone song that I'm aware of.
What's that?
Brrr, brrr.
That's my favorite.
No, Violent Femmes use quite a bit of xylophone.
I couldn't tell you Great. One Violent Femmes song.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. That's as far as we need to go with that.
Great band. Why are you so anti-violent?
I'm not anti-violent. Just, I mean, it's just in the spirit of the podcast and the way we do business.
You're acting like Violent Femmes is like a Two Live Crew or something.
I think that's something. I mean,
just a pop group from the 80s. I mean,
I didn't even know they were that.
There's the only song I can remember of the first lyric is something that we wouldn't say.
When I'm a walking,
I strut my stuff, and I'm so strong. Whoa.
No, that's okay. That's somewhat okay. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah, I got to check them out.
I was singing of a
Do
different
you
one.
Like American music?
All right.
You're right. That's filth.
I stand corrected.
Absolute filth. Randy, get that out of here.
Somebody like that.
I'm laughing at you, Tim.
That says a xylophone as a wooden bar, but I was under the impression that's a marimba. What do you think about that, Randall?
Marimba?
No idea.
Marimba is used quite a bit in... no, I don't know. I was going to say like mariachi type stuff. I don't know.
Not a lot of marimba.
Or more Caribbean, like Caribbean.
Yeah, there you go.
Like Caribbean?
Yeah.
On a steel drum, maybe?
Steel drum, sure.
Yeah. Am I right on that, Charlie? Yeah.
They use a steel drum in the Caribbean.
Yeah. Do they use a marimba?
Plays as lousy with steel
drum. Yeah. I mean, if they can get one, they can get their hands on one.
It's that kind of groove. They'll do what it takes, man. It's the Caribbean.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
Oh, I think it's more African. Yeah, Central and South America.
There you go.
Whoa, look at the size of that thing. There's four guys playing that thing.
We had one of those at Warrenton High School, boy. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, marimba has a pedal.
Well, it doesn't have to, but it can, yeah. Because the poles underneath reverberate, so you can cut it off.
Yeah.
Do you need four minimum to play?
No.
One guy can do that.
That's an advanced technique.
But if you're bringing a marimba, man, that's a production right there.
I'm saying the three of us should look into this.
Yeah.
You can do it. You can do it with just two mallets, but when you like the real good ones, they play like this.
But if there's like a road gig and somebody says, we'd like you to bring the marimba, it's like, well, that's going to be an extra 10,000 just to get it there.
Marimba transport alone. Pretty common in.
I don't mean to be a know-it-all, but the keys roll up real easy. They're all on a string, and they all roll up. So the hard part is just the tubes underneath.
So you have transported marimba?
Yes.
For what gig?
For school, for like a marching or a school band.
You haven't seen Charlie's act in a while. It's the last 10 minutes.
It's all marimba.
All marimba.
I think you'd be. I think it's a good idea. To be honest with you.
I love the marimba.
Is the triangle just called the triangle?
Yes. Yeah.
That's what you just said. I play the triangle.
Yeah.
All right. I'm pretty dumb with music.
Typically,
stuff.
You play other things. I don't know that anybody's exclusively
Nobody
a triangle.
Mark Gross said he was world renowned
triangle
player. You know that song that he wrote?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Ding. Are you familiar with
the
song?
You know, he's told it on the podcast before. I'll tell you what it is.
Please do.
Dinner's ready.
Yeah, he wrote that song.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Top three. Four,
I'm four. A world-renowned triangle player.
Not just anybody can play a triangle.
I didn't know you were in the band, Charlie.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
You started young?
Yes. I got my first drum set at 10.
Okay.
I joined the band at 8.
So when you were marching, were you
bass drum
guy?
Five, baby.
Oh, bass. What's the five? I don't understand what that is.
One, two, three, four, five. Five is the biggest one.
Oh, you had the biggest bass drum?
I was the biggest kid.
Wow. Is that the way they did it?
I think so. That's how it felt. Okay. It felt like
you can handle it because you got to carry the thing.
You have to carry it.
You can't give a little guy a bass drum five.
I bet you there's some little guys like, I can do it, man. I can do it. Small no, come complex. On. I can do it.
Yeah, yeah. I love
rolls
it.
Down
that's
the hill.
Yeah. It like sits like over your gut, right?
Dun, dun, dun. Yep.
And hold on the side. Yep. And the straps on like you're
yeah, similar to the Energizer Bunny.
Place like the Energizer exactly. Bunny. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm getting it now.
That's it right there. That's me. But I was bass five.
What's that kid? That kid looks kind of small. Is
that's like board base three?
Yeah, it looks like a base three, I would say, compared to the size.
Yeah, just making up numbers.
No, you got it, Bones.
I'm glad that was real.
I couldn't handle a five.
Well, is there any songs that you remember playing
yes.
at the Warrington High School Marching Band?
I remember very specifically. We got to play at the Chick-fil-A Bowl.
Oh, wow.
In front of like 80,000 people.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And it was with a big group of a bunch of bands. So there was like 120 schools there or something. And we were all on the field and we played Bon Jovi medleys.
Together.
Uh-huh.
Like everybody learned the same piece and yep. then it was like, hit it.
Did you guys practice together at all?
Yeah. We did like a one or two run throughs before the game started.
Okay.
Wow.
But yeah, it was wild.
Well, how did they bring it home? What Bon Jovi song? Do you remember?
Living on a Prayer.
Yeah.
You got to end with Living on a Prayer.
Wow.
One more time.
It was wild.
Feeling. Yeah. Was Runaway in there?
I don't think Runaway was
Runaway
in
would
there.
Be hard to do with a marching band, and I feel like it's their best piece of music.
Oh, Runaway? It's a strong choice. Of all the Bon Jovi's work?
Yeah.
No, dude.
John Hewlett, who was a famous DJ here in St. Louis, the classic rock guy.
The U-Man.
The U-Man. I mean, that's his favorite Bon Jovi piece of music.
I mean, he's a great guy. Doesn't mean he's not wrong.
The beginning.
Why, where are you? I am so dated. The best Bon Jovi song?
Yeah.
I really like...
Bad Medicine.
I like some of the 90s. I think Always is an incredible song. I really, obviously, I like Dead or Alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep the Faith, number one. The intro and then the bridge. So cool. Yeah.
I'm actually going to agree with you. You, man. I love Runaway.
Runaway's a great
song. That was a big cheesy. Too cheesy. The keyboard is cheesy.
It's got great rhythm, dude.
Tim and taking shots at keyboard players, guys.
And the, during the pandemic, we all did weird things. And Nikki Glaser was on Dancing with the Stars. And she told me she did a plank for like 7 minutes, a 7 minute plank.
Shoot.
And I remember I was like turning 50. And I was like, I'm going to try to do a 7 minute plank.
Mm.
And I would, I had a Runaway on repeat every time I would do the plank.
Mm.
Kind of the opposite of Runaway, though.
No, you're staying still. Yeah. It's actually, I didn't think of that at the time.
Yeah. Should have picked a different song.
I know, man.
Like, I'm Still Standing by Elton John.
Yeah,
maybe.
But I wasn't standing.
That would have been good.
I'm planking.
But, like, still, you could have said
planking.
It. I'm standing still.
I think Herb Alpert has a song called Still.
Oh.
Yeah.
Could be right. Still of the Night, maybe, would be good.
What song is that? Could you sing a bit of that one?
In the Still of the Night.
No. In the Still, shoo-doo,
I like Charlie's version better.
I'm talking about Whitesnake.
Yeah,
that's what I was
in the Still of the Night.
Way better, man. Way better.
I don't know what song
I can tell you one thing Whitesnake wasn't doing, and that was shadoop-a-doop-a.
They should have been.
Yeah, when Tawny Contain was... writhing on the top of a Trans Am.
I can't bring up the Violent Femmes, but he can talk about Tawny.
You can bring him up. There was a lyric that hit my head that I was like, we can't do that.
Yeah. More Whitesnake though.
And then you played in the concert band too?
I did. And the jazz band.
And I was in the jazz band. Here's my favorite thing about the jazz band. Okay. The teacher, because usually it's after school.
Yes.
You know, the teacher wants to let you know, sort of a little looser here, guys. Things are—we don't play by the same rules as we do in the regular band. We're sort of a little cooler than everybody else. You're on your own time, so we're going to have some fun.
Yep.
And one of the ways that he lets you know that real quick is the way they start the songs. Because in the in the regular band, they're very like, and one and two and three or Mr. Baumann would always start three, four.
Yep.
And the jazz band, we're like getting ready for that, and he stands up and he goes.
A one, two. You're like, what's going on? Crazy here.
There's no rules.
It's just mania. So what are we gonna do? Whatever we want.
Yeah. I always got this. A one, a two, a one, two, three. That was Mr. Giles.
Yeah, Mr. Giles.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Mr. Ponder was the concert director, and he didn't even do any lead in. It was just. he was intense. I love
it. I like that, man.
Yeah,
because as soon as he raises his head, you know things are about to get started.
Showtime.
Yeah,
that's how you know to look up.
There you go, man.
Yeah.
Boom!
Bass drum five.
That's right.
On the one.
And what are you playing in the concert? Are you playing like timpani or
snare? I would also do the big bass drum there too.
Okay, like the big marching the big band bass drum.
No, the big bass drum, like a concert bass drum, is way bigger, and you got to warm it up.
Oh, really?
Like it's so big, you have to warm it up, and then before you hit it.
But wow,
it's a lot of fun.
Play any cymbals?
Oh yeah, the crash. I got killer crash technique. Right,
man,
in.
I always thought that.
Right,
I always, you know, felt like there's a lot of pressure on the cymbal players because
the crash cymbal's a lot of pressure
because the song is going to call for it maybe once.
Yeah, so you're sitting there waiting.
Charlie, you came in late. Let's try again Thursday. Like you don't have much of a
chance.
You're
going 62, 63, 4, 61, 2, 3, 4. Bang! And then, and then like, you're waiting.
Yeah.
You're back to waiting.
Yeah, get a cup of coffee.
I'll be here.
All right.
It's great.
The brand this week is...
Wait, can we hear about Sean's hat?
No. We're going to do that in Sean's corner.
We're going to do it in the corner.
Oh, yeah,
guys.
Okay.
A lot of corners. I know what's going on here.
I can't even read it.
That's even better.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a true teaser.
Right, fair enough.
It was a teaser, man. Did you not get that part of it?
I think I know
how
a teaser works.
Apparently you don't.
Charlie, what do you think of Greg's watch?
Oh, people are talking about this watch, man.
What is it? What kind of...
It's a Tag Heuer.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
it's great.
About my watch.
I like it.
That's so a Timex.
That's a Timex
That's a Timex T80 right there, Bonds.
This is the first like one of those kinds of watches I've ever had. Really
nice.
I had a Swiss Army watch for a long time. My mom got me one, but kept breaking.
Doesn't seem like a Swiss. Probably not real. Probably not a real Swiss.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
Can you show? Go ahead.
Lithuanian Army.
Show off your pinky ring if you don't mind.
Oh yeah, where's on camera? Right ahead.
Oh
there
yeah, there it is, man.
Oh, that's a nice.
That's my pinky ring.
That's a nice piece of business right there.
I'll tell you a quick story about this. This is a spite ring that my wife got me because we walked into a jewelry store at Christmas time and we were dressed for a Christmas tree walk, so they thought she was poor, and she goes, "Tell me about these," and he goes, "Well, these over here start at 100. And she was like, "Oh, really? Okay." And then she found somebody else and she goes, "I'll have any ring that you pick out." And that guy doesn't get any of it.
Wow. Wow.
So she was like, "Pick whichever one you want because that guy's not getting a dime and I can pay for it." You
know, Angela Winfrey walks into your jewelry store.
Don't treat her with disrespect, boy.
Yeah. Big mistake. Big mistake.
That's right.
Angela is also a comedian. Friend of ours, very funny, and she's a big time exec over there at Purina. It's not Ralston Purina anymore, is it? It's just Purina, right? Or is it Ralston?
Technically, it's Nestle Purina.
Oh, is it Nestle Purina? Yeah. Talk about the Swiss.
Let's get it right.
Yeah, Nestle Purina.
Nestle's watching.
Yeah, but that had nothing to do with the dog shirt.
No.
The pet food people.
No. This
you got
is
that
a,
on your own.
It's a separate brand.
Okay,
together. We love brands.
All right.
Here at the Consumers,
we're all about brands.
Have you watched a handful of episodes? How familiar are you with what we do?
I was at the live one. I was at the live one. Funny Bone, yeah. I was there.
Yeah.
Taking free
stuff.
So
none.
No, I watched one other when you guys started, but I just don't watch a lot of podcasts. I don't even watch Me and Frank's show, really. I edit it, but I don't watch it.
You and Frankie have a show?
Yeah, it's mostly just shorts and stuff.
But okay.
With Frankie and Chuck, if you're bored.
Oh, man. Check the with Frankie and Chuck. Very funny people. I mean, I remember shooting some sketches at one point, and Frankie Chubb, another comic.
He looks exactly like his name, by the way.
Yeah, and man, is he a funny comedic actor. Yes. I mean, he did one thing, and I was like, he's just perfect, man.
Yeah, he's a real goofball.
Yeah.
He's got just a big face.
And he looks good on camera. Yeah, it's great. Tim, we okay to go to the brand?
Time for the brand. And I'd like to start by wishing all of you a happy St. Patrick's Day.
Absolutely, man.
What a great day.
We're recording a little bit in advance, but it is St. Patrick's Day. As you watch and listen to this, Sean looks very Irish.
Mm-hmm. Gotta do it, guys.
Andy has a green shirt. I should have worn something. My mother would be disappointed in me. St. Patrick's Day was the biggest holiday at my family growing up. My mother was an enthusiast. We listened to a lot of Irish music. She used to have a giant party every year. It was a blast. Love it.
You been over to Ireland at all?
I've never been. My mom went several times. My dad went several times.
You were there, man. For like a minute. Weren't you there with Nate for a minute?
I was in Ireland with Nate. Now that I think of it.
Whoops.
Yep.
Good job, Sean.
I was in Dublin.
Sean, yeah. If you want.
Nice.
Well, I think it's
a forgettable city.
Let me see, Randy. I think we got time. You go ahead and let him have it for about 10 minutes.
I think at least five, man, on that one.
Go ahead.
He forgot that he went to Dublin.
Yeah.
Nah, man.
Yeah,
return to the motherland.
I'm not going to bust him.
I was there. I mean, we were there for a day and a half.
Doesn't count. What is it?
You need a full week.
Yeah, 48 hours, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
You been?
I had a fun show over there with Nate. Couple. Charlie, you big? Are you Irish?
I don't know. Yeah. I'm mostly just European white. I'm not sure what the.
I think you might. You know, you're charming. You're charming. Yeah. Funny guy.
Probably Irish.
A bit of a problem in some areas.
Sure.
Yeah.
You spin a good tale.
Sure, yeah,
you tell a good story. Yeah.
He's calling you a liar.
I am. I think Winfrey is Scottish.
Is it?
Oh.
Winfrey. Yeah. Sounds like it.
Yeah,
there might be a problem with us. I'm Irish as well, and I've been over to Ireland.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
What'd you do over there?
Man, all kinds of cool stuff.
Really? Name one thing.
I went to where Guinness is. I didn't go in. I didn't do the tour, but I was like, oh, man, there it is.
Wow. And then
I went to like small towns and stuff and, you know, did the pubs and all that. And then spent quite a few days, in Dublin, which is one of the cooler cities I've
Find a leprechaun?
Been to. No leprechauns.
Got to go back.
Looked everywhere.
Yeah, I don't think they care for that.
So the pubs are pretty, I mean, that's not just like a stereotype. They're loaded out there with pubs.
They drink a lot in Ireland.
They drink a lot.
If that's what you're asking.
But I think it's the center of the social.
Yeah.
England too, I guess.
In Scotland.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you're going to have a show, a lot of the shows occur at pubs. And a lot of the, I think a lot of the people that just go play music on their own. You know?
Right. We went to Scotland, and it's kind of like Ireland.
Yeah, man. It's near it. At the end. It's close.
It's near it.
But they do a lot of pubs.
Plaids.
Yeah.
Bagpipes. Accents. Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, the bagpipes are probably more Scottish than they are Irish, but we took them.
They kind of get, yeah, exactly.
My mother's side of the family was very Irish, and my dad sort of, who's a Jew from Long Island, just stepped right in and loved St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, they got on board?
Oh, my dad got in. Dad loves St. Pat's Day.
It's a fun holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
We will be doing something today as a family.
I think we should take the consumers over to Ireland.
Really?
I've been thinking about it. Yeah.
That'd be good.
Randy, you Irish at all?
He will be. I have no idea, dude, but...
You don't know? How do you guys not know?
I will embrace my inner Irish if we go to Ireland. Absolutely.
Okay.
Here's the Irish consumers. We love peanut butter. We're big fans of Jif over here. That's a pretty good accent.
It's the guy from Lucky Charms is what you're doing.
No.
Again, he's Irish. That means you're nailing it. Yeah, he's accused me of the same thing when I do Irish.
He's the like spokesperson
he's the
for
definitive,
Ireland.
Yeah, so it's a great impression, Charlie. Don't let Greg beat you up on it. You sound like a leprechaun. That's the idea.
Blue stars.
Charlie does this thing. I got to say this, man, and I hope this is really funny to everybody. Charlie will start the show with the Westport Funny Bone from time to time. And just pure fun for himself, he'll just roll an R on your name.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Every time, no matter who it is.
Oh, yeah.
So if it was Sean O'Brien, Charlie, how would you bring me on stage at the Westport Funny? You do the announcements, and you'd be like, now come to the stage. Go ahead. Just
ladies and gentlemen, nice round of applause for Mr. Sean O'Brien.
Everybody, every host who's already confused at that club. Did you just roll an R on my name? Any name, any person.
Yeah, I've heard him roll it for a good 15 seconds.
We can't stop laughing for about 15 minutes. Yeah. Man.
He did one in my name. There's not even an R.
Oh, you'll find a way. Sneak in a combi. Give us one more with a combi. Give us a combi.
Ladies and gentlemen, Timothy R. Combi. Your middle name is R. Yeah. Nobody knows that.
Doesn't seem to make sense at all.
No sense.
It's real good.
And he would just stick the landing like, got it.
Yeah, I get people jammed up, get them excited.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Over time, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and 2x the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
Well, the brand this week is Guinness. Guinness. Once you guys, Tim and I don't drink. I might have a sip. Sean doesn't drink a lot. Charlie will have a drink now and then, won't you?
Oh, sure.
And since you guys are pouring, I'm going to jump right to what they call the Guinness pour. And this is...
you mean like what I'm about to do here, Ty?
Are you familiar?
Like this? Is this what you're talking about, Jack?
Look at that.
Oh,
man.
No. Okay. So if you're watching... Sean opened up his can. It's fizzing everywhere. Charlie has turned the can completely upside down. And is slowly letting it fill up. Neither of these things are what is known as the Guinness
Randy,
pour.
I gotta get rags.
Oh yes, yeah. Sean made a mess.
Whoa!
It is rapidly.
Let's keep it rolling.
Approaching the headphone.
I'll protect the equipment, Randall.
This is we've never had this happen before.
Yeah.
Sean had 6 Guinnesses before he even came in today. Yeah. I think that could be a part of this problem. Oh, Sean, you gotta hurry, buddy.
That was a bummer.
It is not good.
You got it.
Yeah, come on, man.
There you go. No bones about it.
The official way to do this, and maybe Sean, once you clean up, you can do this since Charlie already poured his. They call it the famous Guinness pour. You fill the glass to about 3/4 full. You let it settle, and then you top it off. That's what they say you're supposed to do. This ritual takes about 119 seconds. And then one of their big slogans, not as much over here, is good things come to those who wait.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, now this is usually I think these instructions are for, a bartender with a draft, right?
I think also just people at home, but yeah, well, I think
it works with the can because the can is it has a
charged. It's got a charge in it. Yeah.
This thing in here, and it's got like it's a nitrogen. I think it's a nitrogen ball.
Charge.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'll talk about nitrogen. Wait, what's the thing in the can?
That's the ball that's like the freshness ball that triggers the carbonation whenever you open it.
I don't know anything about that.
So I could be mistaken. But I think the ball down here, once you crack it, it releases the carbonation, which is why Guinness foams the way that it does.
Yeah.
It's like a nitrogen-based thing.
Yeah, incredible. It's the only canned beer that I've ever heard of having that. That's why really I got the can and not the bottle.
I don't know if it's different with the draft. But with the draft, they would pour it like this high, wait about 4 minutes,
yes.
It cascades, and then you top it off.
Yeah, that's what he's talking. I think that what he's talking about is a thing. I think it's the draft. They definitely do.
Like if you're at any Irish bar, they would not just pour to the top and hand it to you.
Charlie, I'm going to try to make a half and half, which is what I used to drink a lot of, and I think they drink it now. Is half,
they're great,
half, half Guinness.
Yeah, brown and black.
Black and tan.
Black and tan.
Bass and
Bass,
Guinness.
That's it. There you go.
This is a half and half. So there's the harp. I don't know if I'm doing, I don't even know how they do it. They probably do the Guinness first, but when that settles, can you do the Guinness, part of that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let this settle.
Yeah. Tim, you can.
Oh, thank you. So, Guinness, you know, if you're in the pub, they want you drinking out of those famous
Guinness pint glasses. They redesigned them in 2010. The glass is taller and narrower than the one was before, and they do it so that you can, what they call, split the G. So the G in Guinness on there, you're supposed to fill it up the first time to halfway through that G, then you let it settle, then you dump it back in.
All these are shook up. This seems like a scam. This is a
problem. I think somebody fixed this, buddy.
This is a trick.
He's making the half and a half there, and it looks good so far.
Oh, yeah. Great job.
Yeah, not bad.
Because then it'll settle up, and it'll be exactly.
Yeah.
So, Tim, what I was talking about is that I know the what I've always heard is the Guinness pour out of the glass or out of the can is that you flip it so that there's no air, and it just kind of goes at its
you had to pour it. What you did looked very
That's a good
right. That's a regulation pour.
Elegant. Yeah. You had it completely up.
Regulation pour.
You didn't see it. He had the can completely upside down, perpendicular to the ground.
Yeah, it's different than when Sean dumped it all over the table.
Yeah, because not as clearly. Somebody shook it. Obviously, like if I open a Coke and it explodes, it's not that I opened it wrong. Obviously, somebody fixed this, Bones.
Sean,
I mean,
Sean keeping his streak going at 500 of not taking accountability for any of his actions.
Oh, man.
I'm making
somebody messed up.
If you opened a Coke and it exploded and I picked it up, you would be like, what did you do to these Cokes? Tim, thank you.
All right. Charlie brought up the National. Right. I'm going to do that. Then we'll dive into the history. I got to tell you, this brand in general, especially the history, there's.
Here's to you, Bones.
Hey. Cheers. Sláinte.
There we go, guys.
Sláinte, that's right.
There's so much stuff out there. It's cilantro
is from Mexico, I think.
It's obviously a monster brand. You're right. That's
my mistake there.
Man, that's good.
It's a huge brand that people are passionate about. It is a very, very old brand, so there's so much history. And
how old?
Way back then. What's it say on the can?
9, 10 years.
1996.
1759. It says on the old harp. Let's talk nitrogen real quick, just because we're pouring it and drinking it.
Yeah.
In 1959, Guinness began using nitrogen, which changed from the fundamental texture and flavor of Guinness. Nitrogen bubbles are much smaller than CO2, which gives it a creamier and smoother consistency over the CO2 taste. This step was taken by this guy. He was a mathematician turned brewer. Some of the, like, I guess you'd call them analytics in beer, a lot of it pioneered over at Guinness. A lot of these people were both mathematicians and brewers, and a lot of the cool stuff that they did was that. Also, even the way that they managed the brewery itself and the employees and stuff, tons of analytics. Nitrogen, and there's some carbon dioxide. Nitrogen has smaller bubbles, creamy head, and a smoother mouth feel. Ooh. There's also a thing where it's like the bubbles go, it looks like they're going downwards, which is a nitrogen thing.
That's the cascading thing. Yeah, it's really cool when they do it in the bar. Yeah.
It's a drink and a show.
Yeah.
Dinner and a show.
I think, don't they do something at the top?
Like, yeah, you can make, depends how slick you are as a bartender. The pros will make a shamrock. We'll do a figure eight. And then,
with just a regular old thing?
With the tab. Yeah, with the tab pulled out.
No.
But I know for a fact, if you ever go to a bar and you have a Guinness on tap and they just fill it up, Carol's, my people in Rochester, they'd be like, leave. That's like a disgrace to fill it up. It is. I think it's a 4-minute wait. It's a 4-minute wait right about there.
Yeah.
And then they top it and there you go. And that way
it's a 4-minute wait out of the thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
You pour it and you set it to the side and you wait 4 minutes.
You watch a cascade. Hey,
the bar could be packed. You're waiting.
Yeah.
You order
before they hand it over or you as a customer.
Before they finish it.
Yeah.
Before they finish it.
I've seen it, you know. I mean, St. Louis has McGurk's, which is
McGurk's, I guarantee you McGurk's pours
Lucky
it.
Lucky is an Irish guy that has been a bartender there forever. You guys can go at Lucky McAteer. Go in there and you'll see him.
What do you think Lucky sounds like, Charlie, if you had to guess?
Yeah. I think he sounds like this. Would you care for a Guinness there, Tim Conry?
You sound like Lucky Charms. Boo!
Is that good, Tim?
It was really good. I was looking for a rolled R, but other than that, real solid. The Guinness history is so, legendary and fought over and argued about and everything else. There is a current television show on Netflix called House of Guinness. Just started last year. Second season is coming up. And it's a very fictionalized, sensationalized account of some of the stuff with the Guinness family, the brewery, and all that.
It's the sequel to Game of Thrones, right?
No, it is not.
All right.
It's the Aluminum Throne.
It's kind of closer to... They're it's sort of like a, you know, they're trying to capitalize on like Peaky Blinders popularity, stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
It's one of those.
But I watched one episode of it. It was don't drink that Guinness over here. You drink that Guinness over there. That's the clip I saw. It was pretty good.
That's riveting.
Sounds like an argument.
I know. Well,
conflict, right, contentious. From the start.
Yeah. Contentious. Like I said, very dramatic. Many of the details of the founder, Sir Arthur Guinness. He was born in September 1725. They think died in 1803. Very unknown or disputed by historians, either because insufficient written information exists or so many rumors by his contemporaries. They were out to get this guy because he was big time. He wasn't necessarily completely well-liked, so all sorts of rumors started. Mm. And the Irish, as we've said, they know how to tell a story.
What were some of the rumors?
There's a lot of stuff about his family. And in Ireland, you can imagine, a lot of stuff about whether his roots are Catholic or Protestant. There's a lot of different theories on that.
I hope he wasn't Protestant. Please tell me he wasn't.
Well, he worked for, he and his dad worked a long time for the bishop. Yeah, the bishop, this guy, Arthur Price, the bishop of the Church of Ireland, which is Protestant. But like that one in particular, like just this far removed from Catholicism.
Oh, okay.
They're basically like, we're not into the Pope, but everything else is pretty much.
I can live with that.
That's an oversimplification because I knew you'd be here to challenge me on. I know how you are about some of this religious doctrine.
I love Protestantism.
Did my homework. You do. But a lot of people out to get him. What they do know is that it seems like his mom's family had some money. They were landowners. They were almost wealthy, it seems, and his dad's family did not. All kinds of stories about, the dad's family, the mom's family wouldn't want him to marry the dad, and maybe this happened, maybe it didn't, but it goes on and on and on, and it's really tough to sift through all this stuff. But it seems like he was born in 1725, and like I said, his dad worked for Arthur Price. Arthur Price is also who Arthur Guinness was named after.
Wow.
Arthur Guinness later on went to work for the same bishop. And when Arthur Price died, he left a whole bunch of stuff to Arthur and his father. His mom dies, and then Arthur's dad remarries this woman, and then he goes and he works on a brewery on her land, and that's where they say he learned how to make beer, basically. Hmm. Beer was such great importance in Irish life at that time that all kinds of people were brewing their own beer. It was like a very, very common thing. So then he started his first brewery in Lexlip in 1755. Three-story building, ran right to the river. Water, obviously, extremely important in beer making, so that made it easy. Like I said, he was a smart guy, driven, kind of knew what he was doing. Charlie's got a question. He's raising his hand.
Sure. Was the water dirty, and is that why Guinness is brown and all the other beer is not?
I know. I'd have to look that up, Charlie.
I'm asking questions.
Hey, guys, here to learn.
I do like that he was...
I raised my hand.
They remarked that he was a smart guy because he wanted to use water.
That's not what I said.
I know it isn't. That's what I know. It's just the sequence. You're like, water. He built the thing by water, and water's a big part of beer. And he's a very smart guy.
He's smart because he's like, I'm going to do it next to this river.
Yeah.
Another smart movie made right around this time, a little something called The 7 Years' War, which I would love to get into. I could obviously break down
start to finish
detail by detail, especially years 3 through 5.
Long Island.
We don't have that kind of time to talk about The 7 Years' War.
Sorry, Bones.
We skip over some of the
victory.
Oh, history stuff.
Okay, I got that.
Well, 7 Years' War created a whole bunch of...
How long that thing last?
If I remember... correctly, don't quote me on this. Just about to say. It felt like 7 years. They said it was like 3.
Oh,
yeah,
oh,
but it was like, man,
how long have we been fighting? Is that the equivalent of when was the War of 1812? Is that what he just did there?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure if I said that, it's fair ball.
Who's you have to adjust for inflation too.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
So that war
7 years back then. Who knows?
It's like 35-year war. So the 7 Years' War is going on, and that creates some serious economic issues over in Ireland. Banks were collapsing all over the place. Our boy Guinness is like, I'm going to make some moves, as a lot of these guys do. Again, he's smart. He knows about water.
Yeah.
Is that what his voice sounded like, Tim, or what would you say he sounded like when he
said it's time to make some moves.
You sound like Lucky Charms.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Very much so.
Thanks, Charlie. Guinness was interested in acquiring a brewery at St. James Gate that had been abandoned 9 years prior. The place is just sitting there empty. It was a brewery. He's like, that's where I want to be. It was 4 acres, contained a brew house, a grist mill, 2 malt houses and stables. He's like, this is great. Also, again, Greg, advantageous because Ireland at the time was in the process of building its Grand Canal. Again.
Water.
Water. Mm. Was supposed to that Grand Canal was supposed to terminate just outside of St. James Gate where it was. So he goes back and forth, back and forth. The Rainsford family owned it. Do you guys know where this is going? This is pretty legendary Guinness lore.
The Rainsford, yeah, we all know that family. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm
we're bored by right how much we know all this stuff.
Yeah.
So he's going back and forth with them, and then he makes a deal. They sign
along like it's the first time you've heard it.
Oh, okay, all right, yeah.
They signed a 9,000-year lease.
Wow.
Does this ring a bell or no?
No.
No. 9,000?
He cut a deal. Like I said, the economy was collapsing. Banks were closing. And on December 31st, 1759, did this deal under the agreement. He made a 100-pound down payment and agreed to pay an additional £45 a year for 9,000 years.
Yeah. What's the interest rate?
About a 6.4.
Yeah.
Shoot.
Which adjusts for inflation.
Yeah. What is that now?
We got another 7-year war.
Right? The problem is it was one of those loans from back in what they were doing in the early 2000s. So there's a balloon payment at 7,500.
That's when it really jumps.
Yeah.
Up.
Yeah, that's a problem. Charlie, you know all this stuff. You want to take over?
Yeah. So the 9,000 year lease, we're at 235 years or so into it.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, man, the real estate guy was kind of a shrewd negotiator because Guinness went in saying he wasn't going to go 1 year above a 7,000 year lease.
Yeah.
And this guy.
And he walked out of the room.
Walked away. That's the thing. You know,
walk away.
Sean sold cars. You got to be willing to walk away.
I just bought a new car. You have to walk away.
Yeah. You walk away. He was like, well, you know what? I got Anheuser-Busch is giving me a call right now. They want to come in and take.
This actually hits pretty close to home for me because I signed a 9,000-year lease on my car. It's odd, but you know.
Too long, man.
You couldn't pass up the rate,
Your payments are like 12 cents a month.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't beat that.
When you look at it that way.
And at 30% interest?
I think that's basically the deal that the Dodgers made with Ohtani. I don't think they start paying for another 9,000 years.
So this 9,000-year lease is a big part of the Guinness lore. Now, they ended up buying the property and they own it and stuff, but they talk about what a shrewd businessman he was because of this 9,000-year lease. So he takes over this lease, and then you know what became a big problem? Water. The guy who owned the brewery before had a lease on the building and also had, or who ran the brewery before, also had a lease, had a deal with Dublin, the city of Dublin, for the water. Well, 9 years later, when our boy Guinness takes over, that they didn't do an arrangement for that. And Dublin, Ireland, whatever, realizes these guys are using an absurd amount of water. This is costing us a lot. You know, we should be charging them. As the story goes, they came to tell him that they shut down the water. Mr. Guinness violently rushed upon them, wrenching a pickaxe. He took a pickaxe and went after these guys.
Because they wanted to charge him for water?
Yeah, because they shut down his water.
Oh, okay.
And attacked him with much improper language and told him,
You guys are real jerks.
Yeah. You're a soggy potato is what you are.
Hey, take it easy, Charlie.
Charlie, come on.
Sorry,
man, don't take it easy. More.
Family podcast.
I told you there were guardrails on this thing, buddy.
Yeah. You're a bruised turnip is what you are.
Hey,
Charlie.
Hey,
I thought that one was better.
Come on, man.
Literally, there are kids that listen.
My nephews listen to this thing.
Did anybody get smoked by the pickaxe?
I don't think so. I think he was just
threatening.
Yeah.
You got to be careful of those pickaxes.
But I'll tell you, for every 9 guys that wave a pickaxe, only one of them uses it.
Yeah, so the odds
I read that statistic.
Yeah. What, 12% chance you're going to get picked?
Yeah.
Well, pick.
The only thing that stops a bad guy with... I couldn't get there. That's a good guy with a pickaxe is a bad guy.
Well, other way around, but yeah.
We got your point.
Well executed. Anyway, so they ended up, they went to court and they negotiated and he started using that water because they use a whole lot of water.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Nibbles, gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Over time, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and two times the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
And then this is interesting. I mean, this whole thing just comes in a bunch of like little tales and sort of fun facts, like all of this history. In 1773, he made a big deal for just Irish breweries in general. He was always lobbying and petitioning, and he went. So at one point, he goes and petitions the Irish House of Commons to change a tax policy under which domestic Irish porter was taxed at a rate more than five times greater than beer imported from England, right? He's like, this is stupid. He fights forever with a few other guys. And then finally they came through and they did it. And the next year he bought a castle.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
It was a big win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dublin Castle.
Mm. Oh, that's one of the better ones.
It's one of mine.
Better than Slane Castle.
One of my favorite ones.
Slane is good.
So that's the story. It gets passed down generation to generation. There's different tales of his descendants running it and sort of building the big business into what it is. But it's crazy. Some of the other stories I like. World War I broke out in 1914, and they really wanted employees to join to go fight. Over 800 employees served in the war. They put a bunch of measures in place. They said they'll pay you half wages if you go over and fight. We'll still pay you. And then they promise you your job will be here when you get back. And they, like, over 700 of them came back took their jobs back. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm trying to remember one of my buddies that was like, went and joined. It was my friend Chip, was a coach. And I think he went and joined the army during right around 9/11. And he came back and they're like, well, we'll find you, you know, another job within the district. He was like, no, there's laws that say that I get my job. I think I remember hearing
trying
something
to
about
jam
that.
Him up.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's like, actually what I'll get is the job that, I just went to fight for the country. So
the Guinness rule, they call that.
Is that the Guinness rule?
Is it
nope,
true?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
It is now.
Nope.
So many lies.
I call it the Guinness rule.
Foam hat liar. That's Tim Conby for you.
It could be worse.
You're a soggy potato, dude. Yeah.
You want some
Charlie!
More Guinness, you want some more Guinness, Sean?
Yeah, let's keep it going, man. Let's live a little, right, Chuck?
All right, fire it up.
All right, so. About it.
No bones about it. Wait, I can draw a shamrock on.
Yeah.
Man, if we had the tap, dude. Yeah, there you go, man.
Yeah.
So, Charlie, you're...
Exactly.
It's more like a dog paw.
Yeah.
It's a good looking dog paw. Yeah.
Charlie, very pro-Protestant, will like this. They were very pro-Protestant over at Guinness as well.
Good. They were?
Before 1939, if a Guinness brewer wished to marry a Catholic, they asked him to resign. According to this guy, Thomas Molloy, writing in the Irish Independent, he said Guinness had no qualms about selling drinks to Catholics, but it did everything it could to avoid employing them until the 1960s.
That's hilarious.
Jeez. So wait, but...
You couldn't even marry one.
This is where I'm ignorant. My mom would not be proud of me right
over
now.
In Ireland?
I thought Dublin was farther south.
Dublin is in the Catholic part, if that's correct. What you're
that's
asking.
What I thought. Yeah, yeah. It's part of the Catholic part. Yeah,
but
the north is the orange,
correct.
Right? Yeah, the Protestant. Yeah,
the Protestant ones. Yes, but he was the big Protestant guy.
I remember that it used to be back in the day, like Bushmills was Protestant whiskey, and that was in the north. Jameson,
yep,
was Catholic whiskey, but now they're owned by the same company, I think. But it was like, okay. I remember like
Chinese company.
Yeah, somebody like, you want a Bushmills to be like, that's Protestant whiskey. I'm not drinking that.
Right.
Now it's Buddhist.
I thought that was weird as well. In the middle of Dublin. Yeah. Guinness, when they started out, they were brewing ale, like most breweries. Mm. But Arthur's son, Arthur Guinness II, noticed the growing popularity of porter, a dark beer that London, I mean, so much of their business was over in the UK. By the early 1800s, they pivoted almost entirely to porter production. Eventually, that style evolved into the Guinness Stout.
It is a very different...
It is, man.
Beer, man. And I love it when I was drinking a lot of beer, man. I loved it. Man, there's so many St. Pat's Day. It was when I just drank a ton of these and it tasted so good. That first one, it was so good.
It's it is my favorite. And here's a little fun fact for you, Timmy.
Oh, please. Sean.
A light beer.
Yes.
Not a there. Everyone that stuff's too heavy. They just see the dark. They're like, this is 300 calories.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, this can, which is almost 15 ounces, is 125 calories.
Yeah. It's lighter than a Budweiser.
100% lighter, and it's darn near close to being as light as a Bud Light. Mm-hmm. I think it's if you're going ounce by ounce, I think it's a few more calories more, but not by much.
Bud Light's 90 calories, I think.
Can you tell us anything about the insignia on there, the harp?
Yes, but I'm jumping around. I have so much stuff. Sean brought that up, so I wanted to share that. Yes, Guinness has fewer calories than many lagers. A Guinness draft has 125 calories. A Budweiser, 145.
Boom.
Yeah.
I know booze.
Yeah.
The bubbles.
That's why you're on this podcast.
Yep, we're like, who drinks in this town? Greg's like, call Charlie, man.
Pick him up off the bar floor and tell him to get over here.
All right, I jumped on there. Now I got to go back to my other place. Talked about that. Oh, yeah, the nitrogen thing is crazy. There's just so much stuff, guys. Sorry.
That's all right, man. Pick a couple. Yeah, so we don't have to get it all.
They shifted into stout. Well, no, it's just it's all over the place. I don't want to cover what Sean brought up. Charlie talked about the dark color. The stout is made from water, malted barley, roasted barley, hops, and brewer's yeast. A portion of the barley that's roasted, that's what gives it the dark color and characteristic taste. It
says on the package, hints of coffee and chocolate.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wooden casks, it's part of that. They also changed it just in 2017. There was something in there that was not vegan, but it was a very small part of the process, so they got rid of that. So Guinness now
is vegan.
Is vegan, yeah.
Man, and I haven't really drank a Guinness. I was drinking a lot of Guinness before 2017.
It wasn't vegan then.
No.
Yeah. They were all wooden casks in the 50s and 60s, and then they stopped using the cast stuff, and they developed a keg brewing system with aluminum kegs.
Oh.
Charlie, have you ever been to like a party where there's kegs? Call it a kegger. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You been to one of those?
I've been to several keggers. Yeah. I grew up in Warrington.
Yeah.
It was a lot of jungle juice and keggers.
Winfrey's throwing, guys. He's having a kegger.
The Winfrey kegger.
A lot of crazy marketing, including them telling you that it's healthy. Guinness ran an advertising campaign in the 1920s, which stemmed from market research. When people told the company that they felt good after their pint, they're like, I felt great. Yeah. They're like, well, that's all the research we need to do. So they created Guinness is good for you.
This is actually,
was it with like a toucan or something? Like
that's a big part of it too. The part of the art.
The art, it was like Guinness is good for you, and it had like was it a toucan?
That was, yes.
Okay.
Toucan is a very famous campaign they did. But the Guinness is good for you used all kinds of different.
It was okay. Thing that was I remember I've seen Guinness is good for you with a toucan in bars and.
It's iconic.
All over. Yeah. It's a really cool looking graphic.
Just like my hat.
I've always been told it has iron in it. I don't know if we could confirm that.
Let me tell you this, Sean. A 2003 study found that stouts like Guinness could have a benefit of helping to reduce the deposit of harmful cholesterol on artery walls. There you go.
Oh,
me too. Yeah, I have a question.
You don't have to raise your hand.
Oh, sorry. I'm not familiar with the. The Guinness is actually the second best medicine. First best? It's laughter. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
good guy with a pickaxe.
Yeah, yeah. That's great.
More.
Honestly, it's good because we try to do a lot of that on the pod.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's educational.
Man. You're throwing heat today, buddy.
Now, did you read this somewhere, or did?
Yeah,
you...
I did. I did a lot of research before I came in here because I wanted to look sharp.
So put it all together in a sentence.
The Seven-Year War was fought so that you could have the second best medicine.
No, I just want to hear you say it. Laughter.
Laughter is the best medicine.
There you go. There you go, guys.
Did you get that clean, Randy?
We are the consumers.
You want me to look down the pipe?
Yeah, there you go.
Laughter is the best medicine.
Yeah, try not to look so
you
like you're asking a question.
Okay, Stern. Laughter is the best medicine. Is that better?
It's better, but it looks like you're reading off a teleprompter that's not there. Okay. Yeah, try it again.
Greg's in TV,
I'll just,
man.
I'll just look over here.
Guys,
laughter is the best medicine.
I mean, that's a little. That's again
casual.
Questioning. Yeah. I'm gonna give you a line read, which is you're not supposed to do as a director.
Okay, go ahead.
Laughter is the best medicine.
Yeah. I'll give it a shot. Laughter is the best medicine.
I like that on an ad.
Can you one more time? Can you roll that R though?
Yeah. Laughter is the best medicine.
That's the one.
There that's you it go. Right there.
There's your take.
Print it.
Print it. It's got antioxidants, so that's part of the reason they kind of get to say that it's healthy. But then they now when they go to Guinness, they say we never make any medical claims for our drinks.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess the Irish rules are different. But I'm like, they had to stop saying milk does the body good.
Is that true?
Yes, they had to stop saying that.
Yeah,
they had to stop saying a bunch of that stuff.
Wow.
Dude, you don't even see milk ad. Like, it was got milk forever, and then it just went, it was gone.
Yeah.
And you don't see an ad for milk.
It does the body good. They had to stop saying that.
I feel like people don't drink milk anymore, period.
They're, like, mad at it.
I don't.
Like, what, you know.
I think I've talked about that on this podcast.
Have we?
Not a big milk guy?
Drank
dairy.
I used to eat ice cream and stuff until I had stomach problems, but as a kid, never really cared for milk. Maybe there was a year or two when it was real cold, and maybe, but... Right around the sixth grade, I put my foot down and I told my mom,
done, huh?
I'm done. Yeah. And I pretty much was the kid who did what my parents said, you know?
My friend's kid.
I was wrong.
What is it?
Man, I'm wrong a lot on this podcast. The milk, it does a body good slogan was not legally forced to stop, but was voluntarily phased out after 1994, transitioning to Got Milk and later Milk Life. To combat declining sales and shifting consumer preferences, the industry pivoted from emphasizing direct health benefits to focusing on protein and product usage. Thank you, Randy. Thank you, AI.
Thank you, AI.
Sean, about making stuff right.
You want to let him have it, Sean? He messed up again.
No, I'm gonna let him off this week, man. I can tell he's
tired.
That
is AI. You know, they could be wrong.
I do think it's right, man. That AI stuff just spits out complete false flags, by the way.
Yeah.
Just in general.
They call it hallucinating. It's strange that milk never focused on like what it's good with for their ad campaigns. It was always like, hey, it's good for your bones. Hey, it's good for your body. It's never like enjoy it with cookies.
Or pancakes.
They had to
or fluff up your eggs or something. It was always, it's good for you.
And I hope nobody's doing that with my eggs.
Try it shaken.
It does fluff up the egg because it binds to the fat.
I don't like it.
What you like in it? How you like your egg?
Scrambled.
Well done.
Well done.
Yeah. No kidding.
Guy goes, burn eggs. It's a tough shake at the restaurant.
It is tough.
They're like, wait, are you sure?
Yeah.
He's like, cook them. Bottom of my shoe. They're like, no, like, how bad? Like, they're like, he's like, burn them.
Burnt.
They're come back smoking. And he's like, that's perfect.
It's like, an odd choice.
Salmon, extra well done. Looks like a Coke bottle. It's crazy. Tim, but hey, you like what you like, man. You like what you like.
Tim, how do you rock an egg?
Over easy, mostly.
Okay, opposite.
Yeah, how about you?
I watch so much egg videos. I've tried every presentation. Truly, my algorithm is nothing but egg stuff.
Yeah,
Asian eggs, Indian eggs, Chinese. I've watched every.
What's the best?
Yeah, what are we cooking with?
I do one where you fold it.
Yeah,
and it kind of looks like a flower by the end of it, and then it's kind of runny. But also cooked on the bottom.
You gotta show me this.
Thank you.
I'll cook you an egg after this is over.
Wouldn't that just be sunny side up?
No, because it's still scrambled.
Oh, okay.
So you
it's
scramble.
Almost like a not well done omelet.
Kind
gotcha.
Of.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. I see. Because you did.
But he sounds like he's got sort of a quarter fold thing going.
Greg brought up some of the artwork, the toucans, the Guinness marketing is
just to be clear. That's the bird, not
these.
Yeah,
the toucans. Okay, I got it. Yeah, Charlie's taking care of the toucans. Greg brought up the toucans. The Guinness marketing, if you think about it, very, very different than traditional beer marketing. The stuff that Greg was referencing, this guy, S.H. Benson, started these things with artist John Gilroy. He drew the toucans. The 30s and 40s, these were big. Posters that included phrases such as Guinness for strength. Lovely day for a Guinness. Guinness makes you strong. My goodness, my Guinness. And then they did my goodness, my Christmas, my Guinness. And then Guinness is good for you.
Lovely day for a Guinness. I've seen a lot of that.
I like that one.
So yeah. All over, you know, you go to Irish pubs all over, they have those old classic.
Yeah,
ones,
and then the my goodness, my Guinness, that's mega popular.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Tim,
I bet
any...
you'd find that at McGurk's.
My probably. Goodness, my Guinness?
I'm just guessing. I feel like that's a staple for some reason.
Tim, does it say anything why a toucan is involved with Guinness at all? Because I don't think they're native to Ireland.
That's not true. Southern Ireland. Yeah. They're all over
on
there.
The coast.
No, I mean, Randy, pull that one up. Just Guinness toucan, please.
Why does an Irish company use a toucan?
That's Fruit Loops, Randy. Want the other toucan?
No. That's Lucky Charms. No, Randy.
He typed literally toucan. Toucan.
No.
Like the bird, buddy.
The bird. T-O-U-C-A-N, Randy.
Click that link. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Two toucans now. He's there you go, buddy.
There you go.
Yeah, guys work in the ones and twos.
Yeah, I don't think the bird feature. I couldn't tell you why they used that.
It has to be a play on words of toucans.
It was a series of zoo animal advertisements that he did, and that one just kind of took off.
Yeah, because my goodness, there was a dolphin or a seal.
Oh, you're right.
Yep. I think there was there's
the seal.
Seal on it.
Okay.
You're absolutely right.
Oh, there it is. That's it. Yeah, that's in so many Irish bars right there.
I know that one. Now that I see it, I know that one well.
Oh, yeah, that's classic.
Yeah. So the spokesperson for Guinness was seal?
Well, yeah,
the spokesperson was seal, and he had a pet toucan. If I get it
and
right,
people drank Guinness and went crazy,
which is crazy. Yeah. Yeah,
there you go.
So that's why the song blew up.
No problem.
Sometimes you gotta get a little crazy.
This I think is really interesting. So I would like you guys to listen to this. Speaking to how different Guinness the brand is marketed. They've spent years now building a brand that's in complete opposition to cheap lagers, session drinking, and crowds of young men boozing in bars. They've worked very hard to help Guinness drinkers picture themselves as twinkly-eyed barroom intellectuals sitting quietly with a pint and dreaming of poetry and impossibly lovely redheads running barefoot across the peat. You have a pint or two of Guinness with a slim volume of yeats, not eight mates on a 19-pint bender, ending in getting tattoos. That's from The Guardian.
I like that.
Why do they have to get tattoos?
They're just saying all the other beers are like, you ready for a good night? Like, you know, they say other things that I took out.
Guinness is more like, drink it quietly in a pub.
Yeah.
While
you're reading.
Don't scream.
Scream.
Yeah, that was, that commercial was Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah. Have a Guinness, dearie.
You've a denying Doubtfire.
Hello!
Don't speak too loudly when you have a Guinness.
Hello! Greg, you asked about the harp. The harp, of course, is the official national emblem of Ireland. In fact, it's even on the coins. Over there, we say heads or tails. They say heads or harps when they flip a coin. Ooh. The design stems from the 15th century Brian Boru harp, which is a symbol that reflects Irish culture and arts. But they say Guinness staked the claim on the harp before actual Ireland. By the 1860s, a Guinness stout was available all over the world, and the Guinness family were in search of a symbol that would firmly identify Guinness as an Irish product, and they went with the harp. When the Irish Free State was created in 1922, the Irish government in turn had to position their harp facing opposite way because of trademark registration.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So really, Guinness is the symbol of Ireland. Was what it they sounds got, like
well,
to no, me.
They got the harp before Ireland did.
And if you look at the old Guinness memorabilia, the number of strings on the Guinness harp, it varies. That's because the design became more minimal over the years, losing strings along the way since it first made its appearance on a Guinness bottle label in 1862.
Now, Tim, what is a harp?
A harp is an instrument.
Thank you very much.
What is a harpoon?
It's a weapon.
And it's better. And how are they related?
It's better than the pickaxe. It's better than a pickaxe.
And a designer named Jerry Barney was instrumental. You get it. In the harp's evolution. He redesigned the harp in 1968 and again in 2005.
He redesigned the logo, not the actual harp.
Well, the harp in the logo. Yeah, the instrument is.
The harp hasn't changed.
Yeah, I mean, you can get different kinds.
Okay, good.
Different keys. It's like.
Who's the most famous harp player?
Tim.
Oh, that woman.
What's
from,
her name? Andy Samberg's Yo-Yo Ma? Wife. Andy Samberg's wife.
Yo-Yo Ma?
No, that's a cello.
Oh.
And don't be talking to
Florence and the Machine.
Oh, that's
I think
a band.
She plays the harp. She might play a little.
Harpo Marx.
Yeah, that's
guy, so dedicated.
Harpo Marx
their name.
Is widely considered the most famous harpist in modern history. Okay.
Doesn't Andy Samberg's wife? Can you look up Andy Samberg's wife?
Is Andy Samberg's wife Yolanda Kondasis?
No.
Kondasis.
Is that who I'm thinking of? Andy Samberg. I think she plays a wife, or maybe she just sings like she should have a wife with her at all times.
What does that mean?
Joanna Newsom.
Oh, the world famous harp player.
She harps a little bit, right? Right.
Joanna Newsom.
Will you write harp next to that?
Randy's going to kill us today.
Yeah, he's just,
guy's got a lot going on.
We're learning.
Oh, yeah. Acclaimed harpist. Oh, it's the same one.
She's a singer, songwriter, and harpist.
Yeah, that was going to be my first guess was Joanna Newsom, but I didn't think it was the same.
Next time, just go with it.
Yeah, I should have trusted
commit, man.
Trust your gut, Charlie. Often you're right.
I know. Yeah, I should have trusted
we
my
take
gut.
A lot of chances here, man. Yeah. And sometimes we get it right, and more times we don't. But nonetheless, we have fun doing it.
Yeah, you didn't even need to bother Randy. You could have just asked me.
By the way,
buddy.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Think about your mentors and idols, the people who inspire you most. While it may look like they have all the answers, they don't. But they do know when to ask questions and seek the support they need. In a world that glorifies hyper-independence, it's easy to forget that we're all better with a support system. Therapy is a great way to find a consistent source of support in your life, so you can break free from the outdated belief that seeking help is a sign of weakness. BetterHelp has experienced therapists ready to help you with challenges, ranging from anxiety and depression to relationships and stress. It's convenient, too. You can join a session with the click of a button, helping you fit therapy into your busy life. And you deserve that. You can even send your therapist a message anytime something comes up. Build your support system with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
That's where the hand raising moment.
Yeah, sure.
But it just says back on the proper beer pour. Out of the can, there's directions on it. You pour the whole thing out of the can and you wait a few moments. So let's just call it a few minutes. And then you drink it. So with the can, you pour the whole thing out.
Yeah, like Charlie
did.
Let
it sit for 3 minutes. Yeah.
So here's what I think
is the
difference.
Say anything about pouring it on the table?
It said Sean O'Brien might screw this up and pour it on the table.
Hey, you got a shout out on the can.
Well, my
that's
name.
Cool. That's unbelievable. That's
awesome, Sean Michael Patrick O'Brien. I should be on the can, for God's sake. Four Irish names.
Replace
like
the harp with Sean.
Just my fat forehead.
back when they started, so, you know, they pretty early expanded all over the place. Guinness, by the way, huge in Africa. They do an insane business in Africa. But they were, you know, they wanted to keep the product consistent. So they employed all these guys to go all over the world. This is way back, early 1900s, go all over the world and just taste it and then report back. So they have the diary entries of these guys who are like, listen, it came over on a steamship. This is how it got here. This is whatever. And you can read these, but there's some pretty interesting stuff in there. But these guys used to get paid just to travel and like go taste Guinness over there.
You think the local, like far away Guinness plant manager was like, don't rat us out, man. You know, like, it's like when you go to a hotel and they're like, they beg you to give them a 10.
Yeah.
You know, hey, if you, they're like, they text you, if everything's not 10 out of 10, then come talk to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet you they're like, Don't tell them it tastes like garbage. Yeah,
we made a few changes.
Sorry.
Nitrogen's expensive.
We're going to get a lot of trouble down here.
This is interesting. This guy went to Boston. So it was in 1911. Do you want to go ahead and
jump? I was just going to ask. Are you
raising his hand again?
What are you going to do with that harp over there? I don't think I've ever had one.
Oh, have a harp, man.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, sorry.
Get in there.
Outstanding. It's a very different drink. It's more of your traditional lager.
It looks like different.
Yeah. It's my favorite beer.
There we go.
Yeah, get
I've on never there. Had one. Here we go.
Get on there.
Exciting. Yeah.
Sorry, buddy. I would have got it to you earlier when it was cold.
It's still cold.
It's cold-ish.
It's right next to Tim's heart, so it stayed pretty cold.
Ew. Wow. Yeah.
What do you think about that, Tim?
Bang. Didn't like man. It.
Coming for you.
Pickaxe like fired. didn't like it at all. Greg brought up St. Patrick's Day. 13 million pints of Guinness consumed worldwide on St. Patrick's Day. He doesn't like those kinds of facts or numbers, but I thought that was worth noting. 13
I don't mind it so million. Much. I mean, I'll take it this time.
The brewery over there.
Just don't say if you laid them end to end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long would it be, though?
If you laid them in it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know Jupiter?
I do.
Yeah.
Down there, that's where the Cardinals play in Florida.
To Jupiter and back.
Down to Jupiter, Florida and back?
Yeah.
That's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah. Roger Dean Stadium.
Yeah, pretty crazy. The brewery is a huge tourist attraction. Like I said, I've been there. It's wild. It's in the heart of all kind of the city of Dublin. Probably, you know, I imagine a lot of Dublin was built around, like that area at least certainly expanded partially because of all that was going on there with Guinness. Sure. It is the Guinness storehouse in Dublin is Ireland's most visited tourist attraction.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. 2 million visitors per year. If you lined up all those visitors.
Be a lot of people.
Be a whole lot of people.
Would it go to Jupiter, Florida?
It would. And back.
That's pretty unbelievable. Do they still own the castle?
No. I believe the country of Ireland owns the castle.
Oh, okay. Can't compete with that kind of cash.
No, right. They got a ton of it. They got that U2 money.
Hello. I don't think they're big on U2, man. Just overall as a country. Like the masses. I'm in the blogs. I'm in the blogs, man.
I don't know, man.
Don't get me wrong. They'll sell out a stadium. But I'm just saying it's not.
They draw like 40 people in the
I'm telling
they're
you.
They're not
though,
going
man,
to St. Bono.
I'm saying it.
What happened?
I'm telling you, somebody from Ireland, if they were listening, could confirm
I think
this.
That was your best Ireland. That was your best Irish accent right there. We're not going to St. Bono.
What do I care if Bono's in town? I grew up with Bono.
He was a jerk.
I knew Bono before he was famous.
He was a bruised potato.
Okay, now who's talking about him? Hey,
all right. Man. You know, you guys are right.
You get a different rating on this
Your
podcast.
Nephew watches this.
I crossed the line there. I apologize. That's Guinness. What do you think of the harp?
I haven't tried it yet. The head on this thing is nuts.
Very.
Yeah, John Taffer would have a fit right now.
That is nice.
For those of you that are only listening, Charlie has foam all over his face.
Well, the guy went for it. Yeah. Took a shot.
Did you enjoy it?
Under pressure. I do. It is actually really nice.
I love that beer, man. Especially, man, on tap. That is an amazing beer.
Yeah, I would imagine. That's really nice. Keep moving around.
By the way, Tim,
Yes, John.
Not trying to correct you. Just because we try to get things right. If they get 2 million visitors a year, that's 5,500 people a day. Every day for a year. That just seems a little aggressive, right?
Are you calling me a liar?
I'm not calling you a liar. I'm just saying
Tim,
what facts are out there.
What are the hours?
Might not be accurate.
Tim says 2 million is 2 million.
I'm not saying Tim is wrong. I'm saying there might be
bad. Why do you have a problem with that?
I don't think that's that crazy.
I don't
hate this place is enormous.
This is important. All right.
I'm just saying.
I'm sure there's like busy seasons.
5,500 a day. That's at 365 roughly. It's not the exact number. I just say that seems like a lot of people
Day. Give the guy a calculator.
55, give you a calculator. You know?
AI's disagreeing.
Randy, can we get the hours of operation for the Guinness storehouse?
Yeah,
that's going to have a lot of...
You're going to get this down to the hour?
Yeah. We get this down to the hour.
it's just because if they're open until 9, I could see $5,500 people a day. You know what I mean?
By the way, it's gotten up to $25 million a year, by the way. They're still recovering after COVID. And hey, we all are.
Open is at 10, closes at 7. See, I'm with Sean. I'm questioning
I'm not
that.
Buying it.
No but way. they're so drunk by 7, a lot of times they're open till 10:30 or 11.
There had to be 150,000 people here today. I mean, I couldn't keep track of them at all. Look,
it's even telling you the best time to go to avoid crowds. There's a lot of people there.
I'm going
to
say the morning.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, obviously, it shares, that it shares that information.
Man, there's nobody here. Yeah. It's kind of funny. It didn't even open until 10 anyway.
They do dark hours from 10 to noon. They do keep the lights real low.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a headache.
Turn the lights down at the Star House.
Pair of the dog for you.
Yeah, hey man, okay. I don't know if you
know what? I agree with Greg. You really do sound like Lucky Charm. Yeah. I try my best to do it with a good accent, but you really do sound like it,
thank you, man. Again,
you know who's coming back to town next week? Yeah, U2's coming. You want to go?
I'm not going to see Bono. What do I care about Bono?
I'm telling you,
but
man.
I mean, he's one of us, you know.
I grew up with him. What do I need to see him again for? Grew up right down the road from me.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite Irish. That's my favorite character that's ever come on the show. No offense to Venezuelan Tim. That is
the top three.
Strong.
The Irish guy that doesn't want to go see you two is my favorite character on the show.
I'm telling you, man, they're out there. Yeah. They're in Ireland. They don't care for him.
Sunday, bloody Sunday. They're all bloody Sundays.
Just name the streets.
I got some comments for you. We love your comments, guys. You can leave them anytime. Mostly, if we're being honest, YouTube. But also, we'll take a review on old Apple Podcasts or wherever you want to leave one and just hope that I get it. Also,
where can I find this podcast, by the way?
Oh, wherever. You get finer podcasts. Yeah, yeah. You can also join.
So what do you think of YouTube?
Like, I don't like YouTube. I grew up down the street from YouTube. What's a school of YouTube? No, what do I need to say him
said,
for?
I said YouTube.
Oh, sorry. It's confused.
Anyway, also join the Consumers Podcast fan page on Facebook. Always a lot of good stuff on there. Great community. And should we talk about this? There's a podcast about our podcast going on that
I haven't
watched it yet.
I don't know where you can get it. Where can you get it, Sean?
For sure, YouTube.
Okay.
And I think they're working on, when this comes out, I think it'd be Spotify and iTunes. I cannot 100% confirm that.
What do they call themselves?
Let me guess it first.
Go ahead.
Consuming the Consumers.
That's what it should be.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Consumers.
It's not bad. Watch the show to know the inside word.
Okay. Yeah, Charlie doesn't watch.
So Charlie doesn't
watch. Likes us about as much as that Irish guy likes Bono.
Yeah. You're talking about Bono?
Yeah.
I won't hear another word.
The Coterie Club.
The Coterie Club. Yeah, but
we can, yeah.
Yeah.
There he goes.
There we go.
But yeah,
that works. More.
Now we're getting Irish.
Most of these comments come to us from the Reese's episode. A lot of people hit us hard. We did not try Take Five or Fast Break. People went on and on.
They were mad about that.
They specifically love those.
Huge fan of the Fast Break.
That's what everyone says.
Really?
Love it. It's my go-to candy. If I'm getting a candy bar, I'm getting a Fast Break. Absolutely.
You nerds clustering at all?
What?
Nerds clusters? You ever get involved
like
with
those? Like the rope?
No, man. The clusters.
No, I've never had the clusters.
Have you had the rope, though?
Pit the rope.
If you like the rope,
you'll love the clusters.
It's like a small rope.
It's like somebody cut up a rope.
Yeah. Okay.
That's how they made them at first. They cut them up. Kelly D. Smith, 58, said, I made my 11-year-old daughter watch E.T. for the first time on Sunday. She was not impressed, but it was great to rewatch it.
I didn't know Entertainment Tonight was still on.
Tesh, man. You watch the Tesh ones. It is Tesh and Mary Hart, the dream team.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I don't know if I'd make
I didn't
my,
know it was the
what's
one.
Your kid care about watching Entertainment Tonight?
I know, not cool at all. No, I think they're referencing the movie that you...
Oh, hey, Charlie, watch this. Watch this.
The Reese's episode.
Watch this, man. And you do that one character. As well. Elliot.
I don't like Elliot. I grew up with him.
So the movie E.T., they said they loved your impressions. A Coterie folks said Greg and Bates have a very similar vibe when they do impersonations. We need an impersonation showdown.
I mean, we just got Charlie doing the guy that doesn't like Bono.
Hard to
I can do impressions. Yeah. What do you got, Tim? Throw anyone out.
Anything at all?
Yeah.
Do Greg doing E.T.?
Hey, Elliot. That's what he just did to me. Yeah, I don't know. Is that good?
Pretty strong.
Still plenty of comments coming in about the Cruise Julie Culp, our pal, 1609.
That was great, man.
Tim and Sean both...
Big supporter.
Tim and Sean both had cabins in the same hallway as us on the cruise. I heard Sean before I could see him, which just added to the fun. Got to talk to the guys a few different times. They are the best.
Yeah, yeah, it was a lot.
Sean woke me up on that last day. I heard him.
In the morning, right?
Through the walls. Yeah, it was my alarm clock. It was nice.
One of the complaints Sean's got over the years from his stand-up is that he just won't stop yelling.
Yeah. He just keeps yelling. I came to a comedy show, and I'm being treated like a sounding board. Get rid of him.
Guy won't stop yelling.
I was told that. I was also told that recently, too, on a new Somebody said, I just yell in here. So.
Princess Summerland, 7269.
Oh, she's great, man.
Yeah.
She's a frequent commenter.
Yeah, she is great.
She's fantastic.
Great opinions on things. She said, it's nice that Tim looks into the camera when he talks. He makes it feel like a really nice hang. Thanks, Tim. She is great, isn't she?
I can see why you picked that one.
Yeah, she is great.
Yeah. You want to deliver that one to the camera?
Yeah, look right at the camera.
Bo Convy. Why you want to know? Said, when I visited the Hershey Chocolate World with two friends, they pulled us into a hidden chocolate tasting room for upcoming products. It was for dark chocolate Reese's. Mm-hmm. Both of my friends and I independently, but at the same time, bit into it, not realizing the paper was on it because it was the same shade as the dark chocolate. If they had an employees like it sign, it would have lit up from their laughter. The employees thought it was hilarious.
That oh, okay. Paper. Gotcha.
Mm.
Solid little anecdote, I thought.
I see where they're going.
If I was at Reese's, I would flip the coloring and make the wrapper the color of the normal Reese's to differentiate the dark chocolate. Pass that along to Reese's.
Please. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get that out.
Thank you, Tim.
I'll tweet at him. Randy, clip that out. Let's just send it right to Reese's.
Appreciate that.
SW Darby said, Sean saying, God's going to cut you down for the Johnny Cash song. It went painfully unnoticed. Such a funny song choice. There you go, Sean.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty much used to that now. Oh, big deal.
What's he?
Joking. Just
what are you used to?
I'm literally having fun. I'm just making jokes.
He's trying to say he's the Johnny Cash of this podcast.
No, but we could go with that. I don't know if that'd be a compliment or an insult.
I don't like that. You got to start wearing black.
Yeah. You do. A lot of black. Man in black.
I love it. William Cannon.
Billy Cannon.
TX said, I couldn't help but notice Reese's peanut butter, just the peanut butter in a jar. Was not included on the episode. I have to assume that Peanut Butter Boy put the kibosh on that particular product.
Oof. Well, we were just focusing on the chocolate, but I've never made it a mystery, or I've always made it known I don't care for Reese's Peanut Butter. Yeah. I felt they were carpetbaggers, interlopers. Sure. They got into the game real late.
Yeah.
Like,
they're no Jeff, yeah, like I know
hacks.
That.
I felt like they thought they could just step in because of their, they have a product that happens to have peanut butter as an ingredient.
I feel like they snuck in the back door with their chocolate covering.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a different game over there.
Yeah.
It's a different game when you're playing the same game with candy. It's
It's cute.
You can kind of hide behind the chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're just peanut butter, there's nothing to hide behind.
Put it in a jar next to Jif, and we'll see if it's good.
Something's going on with them too.
What's that?
They
changed the recipe, Bones.
Oh, we remember somebody sent us online like an article about the Reese's guy is mad at Hershey's.
Oh, a descendant. I read that.
Yeah.
A descendant of the original Reese's kid is like, you changed the recipe and you did all this stuff. And it's like, he doesn't know. This all happened so long ago.
But they did change the recipe.
Yeah, they probably did.
Yeah, they've changed it. Yeah.
Recently.
We just heard Guinness.
People say that too.
I'm holding up.
Oh, no, I'm telling you. That was like a big news story that they changed the recipe in the Reese's candy and everybody was up in arms about it.
Is that right? It's waxier now, people keep saying?
No, it's just like. It's like a different. They changed the recipe of the peanut butter.
It's a bad batch, guys.
It's junk.
Can be a, we know about that. Can be
a you know what it is? It ain't Jif.
No,
and
that's
if it ain't
the truth.
Jif, it ain't nothing.
That's right.
I'm Brad, and you are not. Said I feel a lot of tension on this show. It feels like Nateland before it ended.
Oh,
we're not ending. I can tell you that.
We're not.
Is
ending.
There tension? I think it's absolutely. But we've had tension since the beginning.
Yeah,
that's what makes it so.
We
fun.
Are not ending.
Was that it, Tim? Was that the only, there was any and to that or just that?
No, he's just saying I feel tension.
Oh, he feels tension.
I think it's friendly.
You're just creating drama.
Me?
Yeah.
No, that's a real comment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You feel the tension, don't you?
No.
No. I'm four Guinnesses deep, man. Yeah. I'm not feeling
actually,
much
two Guinnesses and a harp.
Yeah.
So let's, you're going to be a narc. Let's get it right. You know?
You don't seem tense at all, Charlie.
And finally, I don't think this has been brought up on the pod yet. Will Riddle, 4199, said, I watched Greg channel Mission Impossible Cruise as he sprinted through the airport back towards the transfer shuttle bus. We talk about that? You left your...
No.
When we, the cruise, we took the shuttle from the boat back to the airport.
Two of us did.
And then we're...
Yeah. And you wouldn't have had that problem if you did pulled my move. But
Sean took a cab at 5 a.m.
Better believe I did.
For a 12:30 flight.
But Greg and I took the shuttle, and Greg forgot his backpack. So we're checking in the luggage, and Greg goes, oh, my God, and ran as fast as I've ever seen.
Pretty fast.
To go get his backpack.
And, which eventually you're an athlete.
To no avail. I was an athlete. Yeah. Even when I was an athlete, I was not fast.
Yeah. Wrestling's more of a sprint.
Yeah, my wrestling coach said he was, could barely beat the heavyweights in a sprint.
Mm.
Like when it came to long distances, I was always, you know, one of the best runners. But sprinting, not good.
Not your strong suit.
Well, take us through this. So you sprinted towards the van. The van, obviously, too late. Couldn't get it.
It was a full tour bus. It was gone.
So what was the play? How did we get this back? What'd you do?
I called the sixth man folks, and they called the driver, and he was kind enough to come back.
Oh, that's awesome.
Nice. Yeah. Did you tip him?
Yeah. Can't remember how much, Greg's but I did. Class.
I know I did.
$5?
I came more than $5.
You didn't have to work for 6 months.
I think it was a pretty good, amount.
$10?
I think it's more.
I just tipped our garbage.
Don't say
15. $40.
Why?
Don't say 15.
Why, Charlie? We're just not going to go in $5 increments for the next whatever. I don't think it's really that entertaining.
I'm just trying to get information. Is all.
What comes next? Do I plug some shows or does Sean?
Sean does his Sean's corner.
Got a couple things going on. We got birthday segments. This is big, guys. People enjoy it. So for this week. We're going to go, happy birthdays, Bones. This is what we do here.
Okay.
We say happy birthday to people. Samantha Frenzel-Vella. I apologize if I'm saying that wrong. That's a surprise. That's from husband Joe.
Didn't we do that one last week?
I don't know.
Pretty sure we did.
Really?
Yeah. Sorry, buddy.
We can do it twice.
Joe's paying
for two. Twice. It's not on my notes, but.
What a good husband.
Yeah. Only there was a way.
Way to go, Joe.
Well, look. Maybe I did. Well, then I got it twice. Craig Moss turned 39. He was asking, what do I do in my last year of my 30s? What do you do in the last year of your 30s? Bones, you're not there yet, so.
No, I got some time. I mean,
you just prep, you just circle the drain to 40 and enjoy 40, right?
Yeah, that's a happy thought.
Well, I'm just saying is it that big of a jump, 39 to 40?
Nah, they used to make those, I remember when I was a kid, they'd have all those like over 40th
the,
birthday
over
parties.
The hill.
Where, yeah, they'd have like, yeah, and then the was, balloons would all be black and everything.
Yeah, it was a tombstone.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like you're going to die at 40. No, 39, you got your whole life ahead of you.
It's going to be great.
Don't think about being 40 as a negative. Just think about it as the next one.
I can speak to all this. Right?
Charlie?
Who cares?
Should be a motivational speaker, you know that?
That's right. I should.
Oh,
and as long as Bono doesn't come, I'll do it.
And finally, Rhonda Finn.
Rhonda.
I think it's pronounced Finn. F-I-N-N.
Irish name.
Big fan. Finn. She's a big fan. She comments a lot.
Or Finn.
Happy birthday to Rhonda.
Happy birthday, Rhonda.
Happy birthday, Rhonda.
Check out the Coterie Club. Amy, Mookie, and Nathan are essentially, they're doing a podcast about just our podcast. Mm-hmm. I think they're starting with episode one, which was Duncan, and they're just breaking it down.
So
and
it's a rewatch podcast.
It's a rewatch. Mm. Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's a rewatch, and I know for sure it's on YouTube under the Coterie Club. And I think they're going to start at one and just keep on going. So if we keep going, they'll never be able to catch up. So they'll keep going as long as we're going. I watched the first episode. I loved it.
I got to check it out,
great.
Man.
I thought they were
great, I know man. I've met Amy. Who are the others?
Amy, Nathan, and Mookie.
Well, I know I've met Mookie. Have I met Nathan?
Nathan, I think you met too. You met him at Nashville. He came to the recording.
Yeah, I know that guy.
Yeah, he's been to a few of our things. So it's the three of them. They're just on Zoom, and they're just hanging.
You want to explain the hat?
And then, so let's get to that. So then... We got a bunch of stuff here. I'm wearing a hat from a company called AstroTurf, AstroTurf Corporation. So this guy named Gary Jones just said, "Hey guys, love the show. You know, big fan. Do you mind if I send you some stuff?" We got the address, which maybe Randy can put in the P.O. box when this, you know, boom, this part airs. He said, "I'll send you some stuff." The guy, Gary, I can't even tell you. There's about $500 of stuff here. I'd say,
oh my gosh.
Hats, shirts, jerseys. There's an umbrella.
Wow. Any turf in there, Bones?
No, yeah, turf, is there any turf? I'm sure we could hit him up for it.
I mean, AstroTurf, that is the one, right? I mean, that's it, like started the, like, in the Astrodome. Yes. In the Astrodome. Yep. And so I guess that's the main turf. That's the first turf, right? Or
I would have to assume you're right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hey, man, little, we got a mini football helmet.
Football helmet. So, huge. Gary, big thanks to you on that, buddy.
Football helmet for your kid there, Tim.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh. No, right. Very generous of you, buddy.
Thanks, Gary.
And so I'm rocking one of the hats, as I said I would do. And then just a couple other quick things here. We got some stuff here. Everyone's got their own bag. This is Greg.
Oh, thank you.
And then this is Tim.
Thank you.
Amazing.
And this is from Candace. Sorry, Bones. We love you, buddy. This is from Candace Lucy.
What is it?
These are just basically, there's cool a very snacks. Nice long letter, but yeah, we can kind of just do a breakdown of what we got. I got some Canadian maple syrup.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
She's from Canada.
Yeah. All right.
From Canada. So look at her. I mean, paying the premium, too, to get this shipped over.
We're getting stuff from Canada, guys. We're getting big.
We're getting big. So
looks like some pretty cool. Canadian snacks.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Very nice of Canada. Awesome. Very generous.
I love Canada.
And then we got last one here. There's so much stuff. So I'm trying to make this fast. This is from our friend, Dr. Buckeye.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Buckeye's sent some Reese's stuff at one point, I think.
Yeah,
is he from Ohio?
This is for Tim. I think it's a lot of Buckeye stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's Ohio State, if you guys didn't know.
All right. Thank you. That's awesome.
I mean, I got frosting, which.
Bag of nuts.
Boy, oh, boy.
Yeah, frosting, right, I believe, now. Is because you've talked about. Sean ate frosting on a Kind bar.
Oh, yeah. He's not lying. Yeah. I've done it, and I've done it more than once.
Hey, you got to sweeten that thing up.
I would assume the ring pops are for Greg, part of his classic bit.
There you go.
Look at that.
I mean, it just...
I know they still made
ring pops. That's what the kids call bling.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's
fresh. Yeah, I mean, this keeps going. Tim, more stuff for you here, buddy.
Yeah, great.
So, to here Dr. Go, Buckeye.
Oh, for my career.
She's kind of got it broken down in the letter, too. I will make sure we get the read after the show. Amazing. So we know, but... Big thanks to Dr. Buckeye. And
this is great.
Last shout out to our friend Jody. Jody hooked my dog Gus up with some organic treats because he's got a broken stomach and he's got to have knee surgery. And it's a whole thing. And
poor
so,
Gus.
Jody, thank I really you, Jody. Appreciate you taking you. Care of my dog as I love him very much.
Got some coffee for you guys.
Oh, nice.
It's a nice lady gave us some coffee. It's called the Apostoli. APOST. Apo and then Stoli, the vodka.
Apostle.
Oh, wow.
Apostoli. Okay. Yeah, and it's, and then look at these mugs. Look at that.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Pretty cool, huh?
That's fancy.
Cool mugs.
Yeah. Some whole bean coffee.
That is cool,
here.
Man.
It smells amazing.
It does smell very good.
Nice.
That's really cool.
All right. Yeah, we got to whip that up.
Tim, you drink coffee?
I do. Yep. Love it.
But he basically thinks all coffee is the same.
Wow.
That's not like, I wouldn't. Fight. I'm just saying, I don't have very discerning coffee.
So you think Apostoli and Folgers is the same? Is that what you're saying?
No, I mean,
Folgers
I'm
was our last friend, Charlie.
Folgers
so
did come in
before
swinging.
You want to take shots at Folgers, Folgers I sold it for several years, and it was our last brand. So
I got no problems with Folgers.
They did a bang-up job.
Apostoli's probably contains more Arabica beans, and it's going to be more expensive.
Okay, there you go.
Didn't you go to high school with Folgers?
I don't care about Folgers! Oh,
man, don't get him all fired up, man.
Sorry. I grew up with him. He was rude from a boy.
He's rude from a boy.
So there you have it, folks.
Great job,
Sean. Thank
Shawnee.
You, everybody, anything for all else? The lovely prizes and giveaways.
That's
and
great.
That says that.
Okay. Some plugs. Before I do that, I want to thank everybody. I met quite a few consumers, listeners at my shows in Chicago over the weekend.
We Chi-Town!
Did some Ludo up there at House of Blues.
Bunch of tickets.
And yeah, it was great. So fun.
Did Rebecca Jaffe open for you?
She did. Yeah. She was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, she's great.
Now, yeah.
Really funny. Yeah, from here. Yeah, she's great. She's opened a few Ludo shows. It's a blast. But yeah, quite a few people who listen to The Consumers, which is really, really fun. And people are nice and said to tell you guys hello. And so I appreciate that.
Nice.
Show's coming up. Greg Warren's going to be in Little Rock, Arkansas at a club called the Looney Bin, March 27th and 28th. Greg and I will be in Columbia, Missouri at the Missouri Theater, April 10th. Tickets left?
Just a handful.
They're handful
like,
of tickets.
Most of them are just like ones, but I think they're going to release another like 20 or so.
Stand by. They're going to release more. That is April 10th. In Columbia, Missouri. April 11th, Springfield, Missouri at the Galois.
I said Galois last time, which is sort of incorrect. It's Galois.
Galois. Okay. And then Consumers Live, Nashville, Tennessee. Still not sold out. Consumers Live at the Lab at Zany's. That is April 14th.
Not a lot of tickets left.
Not a lot of tickets left.
I think we're close.
And then we go down to Austin, Texas for the Moon Tower Comedy Festival. You can catch all three of us performing. You can also catch the Consumers Live. So if you're anywhere near Austin, get down there. April, looking forward to seeing you guys.
At the Moon Tower.
Gray's got dates coming up in Erie, Pennsylvania, Pottstown, Pennsylvania. Back to Chicago, folks. Rosemont, Zany's. So get on that because we know those are going to sell out. And then it looks like you'll be up in Canada in May. I'm talking about Winnipeg. And then Tulsa, Hermosa Beach, Hollywood. It's all coming. Check it out. GregWarrenComedy.com. My stuff is at TimConveyStuff.com where you can learn about Can You Feel the Punk Tonight? All your favorite Disney classics by me and the guys. That is May 2nd at the pageant here in St. Louis. That's all I got for plugs.
Are you doing
Charlie
pop punk
Winfrey,
things?
Is there anything you'd like us to plug?
Yeah, with Frankie and Chuck. It's me and my buddy's show. It's on YouTube and everything else. He also puts
with
it on
Frankie
Rumble.
With Frankie and Chuck.
But yeah, are you doing pop punk covers of Disney stuff? Is that what this is?
Some of it is very poppy. Yeah, we do ska. Some of it is just kind of rock, but yeah, it's a little bit of everything.
When he says rock, he means like rock and roll.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. With Frankie and Chuck.
We are the Consumers. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter, from plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Over time, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and 2x the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.